I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. I want to thank each of you for taking the time to tune in this evening. I realize it's the peak of summer, and you all have wonderful outdoor activities to attend, so I greatly appreciate you taking the time to tune in. I have a great show lined up for you this evening. Several amazing calls have found their way to me from all around the world, and I'm pretty excited to share them with you. But before I get started, I wanted to take a brief moment to tell you about a friend of mine named Julian. You see, Julian is the amazing artist behind Cryptid Zoo. Cryptid Zoo is a line of amazing, cryptid-themed, interactive t-shirts. You may have seen his Yeti design in the very first Cryptid Crate. I encourage each and every one of you to head over to cryptidzoo.com and shop around. Be sure to check out the interactive features on each shirt. And because Julian is a generous man, he's offered a 25% discount for all Monsters Among Us listeners. Simply enter the coupon code MONSTERS at checkout. Okay, so what do you say we get this thing started? As I mentioned in past episodes, I have a healthy fear of water. My fear is by no means crippling. I still swim, boat, fish, and do most other things that everyone else does in the water. But if I'm being honest, there are certain aspects about water that are downright terrifying to me. I suppose it happens mostly when the water is murky or when it's dark. There's something about not being able to see what's below you that really strikes a nerve. Now, to dissect this fear even further, it's not the actual water that concerns me, but rather what's lurking below, creeping in the depths, camouflaged by the water's darkness, and poised for an attack. But as you will learn from our first call, not all terrifying water creatures are found beneath the surface. The following call, Stewart's Call, details just such an entity.
I've called a couple times, called about the guy in Charleston that was, you know, watching us from across the street, about my daughter my grandfather's voice on the baby monitor. The woman talking about the voice from the woods reminded me of something that happened when I was in the Navy. It wasn't like terrifying or anything, but I figured it was something that you might, you know, get a kick out of. When I was in the Navy, we had to stand aft lookout, which was basically the guy who stands on the back of the flight deck and looks for, you know, aircraft or ships or anything like that that the sonar or the radar might not pick up. And one night I was standing at 10 to 2 watch, which was 10 at night till 2 in the morning. And we were, I want to say, about probably about 40 to 50 miles west of Panama. We had just come through the Panama Canal. We were headed from Mississippi to California. And I'm standing out to look out. I'm by myself. It's, you know, pitch black, normal, boring watch. I've done this 1,000 times already. And, you know, I'm just standing out there. Really, the only thing we have to communicate is a set of headphones that are a sound-powered phone. So, you know, when you talk into them, that gives them the power to go ahead and talk, you know, to people based off of the diaphragm mechanism and everything. But the important part about that is that you don't just get random noises on the sound-powered phone. Because until somebody actively speaks into the microphone, the diaphragm doesn't move and it doesn't power the phone. There's a, you know, a transformer in there that when the diaphragm, you know, wiggles from your voice speaking into it, that generates just enough current to send the signal to the next person. So there's no random noises coming through. It's pitch black. I'm out on the flight deck. I mean, we're probably only going about 10 to 15 knots. We're not moving very fast, which is, I mean, it's anywhere between, I think, about 12 to 18 miles an hour. So we're not moving very quickly. It's pretty still night, and I hear it almost started off as like a humming noise, but it, over the course of, I guess, about 5 minutes, it progressed into almost like it sounded kind of like women singing, but not any kind of words or anything, just a, you know, a melody. And I started, you know, just kind of listening to it, and there was nothing else going on. There was no wind or anything to listen to, so it's boring. I'm standing out on aft lookout. I got nothing better to do. So I start listening to it, and, you know, I didn't realize it, but I guess about 10 to 15 minutes had passed from the last time I had looked at my watch, which was a couple minutes before this started. And somebody comes over the sound-powered phones and says something, and that kind of, you know, snaps me out of whatever I was in, and whatever, you know, I guess, hypnotic state, whatever you want to call it. I wasn't really paying attention to anything. And I realized when a port lookout comes over the sound-powered phones, and I'm standing on the edge of the flight deck, you know, standing right above the water. If I'd have fallen off, that would have been, you know, it would have been in. I mean, I have a flotation device on because we're required to, but by the time anybody realized that I had fallen off, I would have probably been, you know, miles and miles away because, you know, that's the whole purpose of the aft lookout, is to watch for people that have fallen off the ship. So I'm the aft lookout. If I fall off, that's it. I'm gone. And I realize I'm standing on the edge of the ship, and once that person spoke over the sound-powered phones, I realized I couldn't hear those voices anymore. And so, you know, I kind of took a few steps back, collected myself, because at this point I'm, you know, I'm kind of freaked out. Why the hell am I standing on the back of the ship? But I never heard it again. I thought maybe it was wind. You know, the flight deck is long and flat, so wind that's coming off the front of the ship will at times move up over the structure on the ship, come back down and go across the flight deck, and it, you know, it picks up speed going across the flight deck. You know, I live in the Midwest, you feel the planes, that there's nothing to break the wind, they just kind of float across the planes. Same kind of deal, except, you know, we're moving forward, so usually we generate a little bit more wind. But, like I said, there really wasn't any wind, and I don't know what caused it. It's the only time it ever happened. The only thing I can think that even sounds remotely similar, sounds actually very similar, is sirens. From, you know, Greek mythology, the women that would sit in the ocean and sing and try to, you know, tempt men to crash the ship into the rocks. But, like I said, I was west of Panama. I was off the coast of Central America, about 50 miles, so I don't know. I figured I'd go ahead and call in and tell you about it, see if you wanted to use the story. But keep up the good work. I love the podcast, and the Cryptid Crate is awesome. I'm really glad I subscribed to it, and I hope you keep putting out good episodes, and I hope this story helps. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Stuart, for sharing yet another story. This one particularly stuck a nerve with me, partly because of your description of falling overboard. I don't think I'd have to worry about sharks, giant squid, or any other sea monster. I'm pretty certain that I'd have a heart attack and expire nearly immediately. Now, as for your story, I too was thinking the same thing you were. Sirens. Now, for those of us unfamiliar, I've managed to uncover the following YouTube clip from user Nerdy and Quirky that might help explain the origin of the siren. As always, the full clip can be found in the show notes for today's episode.
Siren, having origins in Middle English, Old French, Late Latin, Latin, and Greek, means a variety of things. Though in the case of classical mythology, siren refers to a type of sea nymph that is part bird, part woman, that lures sailors to their doom through seductive singing. So seductive. Nowadays, sirens refer to a particular wail or cry, or something dangerously alluring. Usually it's a woman. In Greek mythology, the sirens lived on the rocky island of Anthemusa, which ironically translates into flowery, and it was located by Italy. Their voices sang songs so beautiful that passing mariners couldn't resist trying to get closer to its source. They would jump into the ocean or steer their boats towards the source of the music, and then they would crash into the rocks and die. Oh, and then the sirens might have eaten them. That assumption is made off Circe's description of sirens. Lolling there in their meadow, round them heaps of corpses rotting away, rags of skin shriveling on their bones. Seductive.
So, Stuart, the only explanation that I could come up with that you haven't already touched on is the actual earpiece. I will not deny any ignorance I may have about the communication device you described, but if it required you to use earbuds or even headphones, this might help to explain where the sound was coming from. If you ever wore a pair of headphones on a windy day, you may have noticed a whistling sound in your ears. Perhaps this effect is what you heard that evening. Then again, if the device you spoke of does not require either of these accessories, then your guess is as good as mine. Thank you again, Stuart, for taking the time to share your story. It's always great to hear from you. And by the way, thank you for subscribing to Cryptid Crate. I'm happy to hear you're enjoying it.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
As I've touched on in past episodes, I often receive short stories submitted via the anonymous submission form. I do my best to play every story that I receive, and these short stories are no exception. So this episode, I'd like to read a pair of interesting, albeit brief, submissions. The first harkens back to the very first episode of Monsters Among Us, back when it was still called Here There Be Monsters Podcast. Here is that encounter. I began listening to the podcast and I was thinking of all the weird sightings I'd had. The first thing that came to mind was the time I was coming home from a bonfire. I live in fairly rural Illinois, about 50 minutes south of Chicago and about 30 minutes off the Indiana border. I live surrounded by fields and I went even further into the rural part of town to a bonfire. This area is partially woods and we have a state park in the town over. And the rest would be cornfields. It was about midnight, I was 8 to 10 years old, it was the summer of 2008-2010, and we were driving home on old country roads surrounded by woods and corn. We were going about 50 miles an hour, it's dangerous to go any faster than that with all the wild animals around, and a huge black cat jumped over the road right in front of the car. As we continued driving, we were trying to figure out what it was, and we all saw clearly that it was a large black cat. Since it was dark, we thought maybe it was just some woodland cat that seemed to be black because of the low lighting. But that didn't make much sense because the car's brights were on. I've never heard anything about any big cats in the area since then. Now, this story reminds me of my personal encounter with a mysterious, large, black cat. I'm sure that the submitter shares in my frustration, not knowing what was seen that evening. Thank you so much for your submission. The next story was not submitted anonymously. The following is Angela's encounter. It was 1997 when I was about 17 in Orange, California. It was near dawn when I opened my eyes slightly to see three very tall, dark shadow figures standing around my twin bed in my room. My hand was on top of my pillow. I quickly, full of fear, unable to move or scream, closed my eyes and prayed for these objects, people, humanoids, or whatever they were, to go away. As soon as I closed my eyes, I felt something placed on top of the palm of my hand. I peeked and saw a glass vial with a pink liquid that they wanted me to drink. They didn't speak. Somehow, I just knew this. I closed my eyes and didn't move, and just prayed and prayed until I fell asleep. When I woke up, they were gone. I have gladly never encountered them again. I have always had a connection with ghosts in a way, a feeling presence or sometimes physically touched by something I cannot see. I do not believe these were spirits. It was a completely different feeling of negative energy and fear. Maybe it was a dream, but maybe it wasn't. But I still can remember the fear I felt to this day. Thanks, Angela. I gotta be perfectly honest here. This is the first time I've ever heard of a shadow entity attempting to give an item to one of its victims. The morbid side of me wants to know what would happen if Angela would have taken and drank the mystery liquid, but the human side of me is awfully glad that she did not. Thank you, Angela, for sharing your encounter. Up next, we make our way to the country of Jordan. The following is Tim's encounter.
Hello, Derek. My name is Tim, and I'm calling you from Amman, Jordan. I'm American, but I moved out here about 4 years ago to teach at a boarding school out here in Jordan. And I'm spending my last night in Jordan. And I thought I would send in my story before I leave Jordan for good. And my story has to do with shadow people. And I guess I'll kind of start where this all kind of begins for me. It was last Christmas. It was before all the teachers were heading home and all the students were heading home for Christmas break. And it was a cold night. It can get pretty cold here in Jordan. In fact, it snows sometimes. And it was about to snow, I think, a couple hours after this incident happened to me. And I was walking back to my dorm. And like all boarding schools, like, you know, the teachers live on campus and the students live on campus. And some teachers live in private residences on like the kind of the outskirts of the school campus. And some teachers live in the dorms. With apartments that are connected to the student dormitories, and I'm in that latter group. So I live in a dorm, in an apartment attached to a dorm with a bunch of boys, with about 80 boys that live in it. And I get the shape of the dorm is like an L shape, and it's two stories. And I guess if I were to kind of tell you where I live on it, I would be living on the end of it, on the top part of the L shape, on the ground floor. And so one night, you know, like, finals are done, the kids are all about to leave, we're getting rid of the kids, and all the teachers were kind of packing up, getting ready for our own holiday vacations. And full disclosure, I had been drinking, you know, but I would say definitely no more than, you know, three drinks, probably just two. And by the time we drove back in from Amman, the school is located in kind of a rural area about 30 minutes outside of Amman, the capital of Jordan. So, I mean, by the time we drove back from, you know, downtown Amman back to the school campus, You know, I'm a big guy, so I was pretty much sober by then. I don't recall feeling at all inebriated when I was coming back. And so, you know, I had to kind of walk, my friends, you know, dropped me off, and I had to kind of walk across campus, you know, in the middle of the night, about 2 a.m, back to where I live in the dorms. And I'm crossing the lawn, and you know, and I'm perpendicular right with my patio. I have a back patio that kind of faces onto an empty to a full green quad area. And as I'm walking towards, you know, my building, and my building's, you know, the stone that they use to build all the schools, it's this like this kind of like white granite and limestone, and they're actually quite beautiful buildings, but they almost glow at night when they have all the all the little lights on the lawns and all the little street lights and stuff. And so the whole campus almost kind of glows at night. And as I'm walking across, and it's cold, and I can see my breath, and the lawn's kind of wet, and there's moisture in the air, and I can see this shadow walking across my patio. And so I'm about, I would say, 50 feet away, and my patio itself, I don't know, probably, yeah. And my patio itself is maybe about 25 feet wide, and it's about 2 feet off the ground, and there's about five or six columns that that join both my apartment on the ground floor and then the above apartments. So these you know very very tall columns, and as I'm kind of walking straight to my door, I see right around the kind of turning and wrapping around my building, almost like they're walking towards my door as well, on my patio, they're walking on my patio, is this shadow, this dark shape. And it kind of freaked me out. I kind of, jolted real quick because it's the middle of the night and I, didn't see anyone. And I see this kind of dark shape, and it wasn't like a large shape, I'd say. If it was a man, it was about 5'10", definitely nothing over 6 foot. And it kind of just jolted me real quick, and I was like, oh, and as I saw it, I'm like, oh, maybe it's my shadow. And this is all going through my head. Maybe it's my shadow that's kind of being projected across the lawn onto the side of my building. Because as I'm walking, it's almost like walking, in tandem with me. And I'm walking, and like, no, it can't be my shadow, because there's not really any lights bright enough to kind of cast my shadow over this distance across the lawn and onto the side of my building. And as I, I'm getting closer and closer, it must be, a security guard, because, security guards, they walk around at night, as well as other kind of maintenance and support crew. And, it wasn't, a security guard, because, I don't see why they'd be walking that close to where I live on my patio, although they could, but I don't see why they would. And then finally I thought, oh, it's a damn kid. Like, they're always playing pranks on us. On the teachers, and I thought, okay, like, there's some kid who's, they think I don't see them, and they're gonna like hide behind one of the columns, or they're gonna try and pop out and scare me. And so I'm kind of bracing myself for it. By this point I'm like, very wide awake and definitely have my wits about me. I'm definitely not feeling tipsy at all. And so, I'm walking directly towards it at a 90 degree angle, perpendicular, straight towards my patio door. And this shape is on an intercept course, and it's walking behind the columns that are on my patio. And right as it gets to like the second to last one, it stops, and so I stop. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna walk a few more feet, and on the other side of this column, I'm gonna find whoever this is, whether it's a teacher who's trying to maybe have a gag at me, or a kid, or whoever. So I take a couple more steps forward, and my heart was kind of pounding in my chest, maybe a little, and I walk forward, and there is absolutely nothing there, nobody. And then I walk completely up to my patio, walk up to the steps up to my patio, to see, maybe that somehow I kind of missed them, or they ran off. And no, there was no one there, but I definitely saw the shape of a person walking. And and as they were walking, they weren't drifting or floating, but as they were walking, it almost did seem like the movement of their legs didn't quite match the amount of distance they were covering. Like their legs were moving. The gate was wider than the ground that they were covering. And it was just a really creepy experience. And at that time, I'm like, okay, I guess it was my shadow. And I guess I'm drunk, although I really didn't feel like it, but it was cold and I got into my apartment. The next day, I'm having breakfast with some teachers and I tell my buddy Matt about this. And he's, you know, we're kind of interested in, you know, podcasts similar to yours. And we both read a lot of Poe and H.P. Lovecraft. And he just comes out of nowhere and says, oh, you know, you must have had a shadow people experience. You know, kind of nonchalant, not even half serious. And although I have heard of, like, shadow people before on, you know, Art Bell's podcast and all over the internet, I never really put much thought into it of what a shadow person was. I don't even think I really heard much about it. And that's how I found your podcast. And, you know, this experience, it didn't resurrect repressed memories, but it kind of did shed light on what has happened to me in my past.
Thank you, Tim, for taking the time to record your story all the way from across the world. Tim's submission was rather lengthy, though very interesting, so I've decided to play the second half on next week's episode. So stay tuned for the creepy conclusion of Tim's story.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, to wrap things up for this episode, we hear from a familiar voice. It wasn't too long ago that Renata called in to share her experience with a few strange encounters while working the night shift at her local hotel. Well, Renata is back with further details of her spooky graveyard shift.
Good morning, this is Renata. I gave y'all a story a couple episodes ago about some shadow people that I'd seen, but I was thinking back about that hotel that I worked at where I saw that one shadow person, and there's actually another thing that happened there that was a little bit strange. So like I had said, instead of sitting in the lobby during my night audit shift, I went into the dining area because the lights were a little bit too bright in the lobby. And they're just, you know, too overwhelming, especially for night shift. So sitting in the dining area where the lights were off was basically where I sat throughout my shift. In the dining area, there is a little cutout kind of into the wall into the kitchen, so we could just pass food through there instead of taking out a big trolley, trying to get a trolley through the breakfast crowd. And one day when I was sitting there, I heard this huge crash come from the kitchen. And, you know, it was all locked down. There's nobody in the kitchen. Everything ought to have been locked up. So I was like, great, somebody broke into our kitchen. On our little two-way radio, I got the security guy down to check out the kitchen with me because I didn't really feel like opening that by myself. And to get into the kitchen, you have to walk through a hallway. The doorway and the little cutout to the kitchen were on opposite sides of the kitchen. And when the security guy finally caught up with me by the doorway to the kitchen, he could hear crashing noises in there too. So we're both like, what the heck? And he's like, should I call, you know, the real cops or, you know, we're ready to see what's going on? I was like, yeah, I want to open it up and I want to see, because I thought it was a guest. I thought some guest had been, you know, either stupid or drunk, wanted some food, and didn't feel like paying for room service. So I was like, no, I want to see which guy is in here. And I want to tell him off for scaring me. So we both opened the door, and instead of the huge mess that I expected to see, where, like, all of our pots and pans on the floor or something. Everything was fine. Nothing was out of place. You know, nothing was on the floor. Nothing had fallen over. So I went through there a couple times just to make sure that no one was hiding, you know, that no one was like, had cleaned up after themselves and was trying to get away with making a big old mess. I didn't find anybody. I didn't find, you know, any trace of anyone having been there. And I guess someone could have gone through that one kitchen door. Oh, I'm sorry. It was locked from the out. The kitchen door was locked, so it couldn't have gone through there if it was somebody who broke in. You know, if someone could have gone through the little cutout from the dining room into the kitchen and got out that same way. But, you know, we just never saw any trace of it. So I'm not really sure what all happened there, but the security guard was a little bit freaked out, and he, you know, kind of avoided that area of the hotel after that happened. I only worked there for about 3 months, so I don't really have any other stories from there. I didn't really talk to any of my other coworkers about it. I was just like, well, I don't have to sit here and see, so I guess it doesn't matter. But, you know, that hotel was a little bit strange. But thanks for your time, and talk to you later.
Thank you, Renata, for sharing your story. As I listened to your submission, I couldn't shake the feeling that it was all so familiar to me. Then, it dawned on me. The following video was recorded on September 14, 2003, at a Wingate Hotel in the state of Illinois. According to the security manager, people staying at the hotel began calling in noise complaints to the front desk with reports of loud screaming coming from the second floor, particularly room 209. There is no known paranormal history to room 209, according to several investigations. However, upon further review, it was found that over the years, multiple complaints of strange noises were heard to be coming from that room. Here is the video clip. Full disclosure, the validity of this video is up for debate. That does not keep it from being downright terrifying. Thank you again, Renata, for sharing your story. I hope, for your sake, that your experience was less than half as creepy as the experiences in the previous video. And that's going to do it for this episode of Monsters Among Us, but before I go, I'd like to take a moment to share some information. The Season 3 finale is nearly upon us. I have a great special lined up, but in order for this to work, I need some stories. So if you've been sitting on a great encounter story, or even a great secondhand story, please, take a few minutes and share. Submitting is crazy easy. Simply call the hotline at 1-888-608-NIGHT. That's 1-888-608-6444. As always, you can email the show at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com or submit 100% anonymously by clicking on the Report Your Sightings tab on the show's website, which is www.monstersamonguspodcast.com. While you have that phone in your hand, jump on over to iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcast and leave the show a nice 5-star rating and a positive review. I appreciate each and every one of you that have already done so. Except for that one lady. She clearly has no idea what she's talking about. For those of you that have subscribed to Cryptic Crate, keep your eye on that mailbox. The latest crate goes out tomorrow. If you're feeling jealous and want to sign up, simply head over to crypticcrate.com to get started. Music from tonight's episode was provided by Mayu and Nature World 1986. Thank you all for listening, and until next week.